Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
Western Range and into the light of the deep strange. This is Caravan to Midnight live from space. John B. Wells in with you tonight, as happily I am able to do almost every night. Six nights a week we are. Good programs in store every night of the week, I do believe. And Friday night, it's you and me. Naked Lines Friday. And by the way, get yourself a ctmstore.com Naked Lines raffle ticket. And remember, somebody's going to win, and might as well be you. Every week, there's a new raffle, new tickets. Each ticket is only good for that week's raffle. And if you purchase a Naked Lines raffle ticket, be sure to stay near the phone on Friday night to receive your winning call. If you do not answer the winning call, you will forfeit your win, and we draw another. You know? Don't let that happen. Good grief. Improve your chances of winning by staying by your phone, okay? Okay. All right, very good. Well, if you did not see, or were not able to see, the pre-show, we covered a variety of subjects, all waiting for you at jellyfish.news. I am so very happy with that site, and I'll be covering a few things from that tonight in just a minute. Now, our guest for this program is Jan Lamprecht. He's coming to us from South Africa, live. We're going to talk about the violent riots over there from just last month. And he has a number of websites here. HistoryReviewed.com, AfricanCrisis.info, and a book, Government by Deception, from 2007. Too many articles to list. Too many. But wow, what a history. His parents were farmers, otherwise known as Boers, B-O-E-R-S, from South Africa, who moved into Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, boom, 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 in 1947. He was born in Zimbabwe. Actually, it was Rhodesia then, and grew up there during the Rhodesian Rebellion against Britain and the Bush War that lasted until 1980. Then moved to South Africa, where he became a computer programmer and worked mostly in the Johannesburg area. He was never politically active until Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe began seizing the land of the white farmers in 2000. He's been an activist ever since. So we're going to talk to him here in just about 30 minutes, all right? MSNBC's Nicole Wallace says, now this is Nicole Wallace of MSNBC, says 95% of Americans will agree with Biden's speech on the Afghanistan debacle. These people are absolutely delusional. They really, really are. And do you know, the American Medical Association, which sounds like a big deal, this is recommended and endorsed by the American Medical Association because they're a very big deal and you should pay attention to everything the American Medical Association says. No, a tiny minority of doctors belong to the AMA. And here's a reason. They support the removal of biological sex as legal designation on birth certificates. What kind of, listen, I know it's early in the week, but really what kind of insanity is this? Oh, no, no, no. It's racist or sexist or supremacist or something. It's just unfair to some freak who wants to cut something off and become the opposite sex of what he was born as, or another freak who wants to have something sewn on to be the opposite biological sex that they were at birth. But we believe that removal of biological sex as a legal designation on birth certificates, we think that's appropriate. Well, you know what I think? I think you're a bunch of insane, twisted loons who have no business being anywhere near the medical profession. If you are so twisted, deviant, and perverse that you support removal of biological sex as a legal designation on birth certificates because you're just so enlightened, why don't you go to mommy's closet and don't ever come out because you did what? Okay? There's never been but one way to deal with people like this who are trying to destroy a nation and destroy the people who built the thing and who have sustained its culture. One way, and I think we all know what that is. Let us hope that reason prevails, but it doesn't look like reason stands much of a chance with these people. Not at all. But I could be wrong, and I pray, I'm using the word pray, that I am wrong. Oh boy, Bob Dylan sued for allegedly sexually abusing a 12-year-old girl in 1965. 1965? So 46 years ago, they got nothing else to do, folks. That's what they do. Biden demonstrates zero leadership as staff explore ways to spin the worst foreign policy disaster in modern history. And one more, upheld eviction moratorium means use of all private property is granted by permission of government. You see, behind everything these freaks do lies a diabolical spin. And that's precisely what has happened here. Now, ideally, these homeowners will go out of business. The government will then own these properties and then rent them back to you. In 10 years, you will own nothing, according to Klaus Schwab, and you will be happy. Yeah, you will be happy. I'm John B. Wells. This is Caravan to Midnight. We pull no punches. Please stand by for further feed.
Pack yourself a toothbrush, dear. Pack yourself a favorite blouse. Take a withdrawal slip. Take all of your savings out. 'Cause if we don't leave this town.
And you know, the hypocrisy of this bunch of people absolutely knows no bounds. No bounds at all. Squad member who wanted to cancel rent received thousands upon thousands of dollars in rental income in 2020. Yeah, it's this ball-headed freak, Ayanna Pressley, the Democrat of Massachusetts, found through her annual financial disclosure. Oh, you didn't know anybody was going to find out? What a hypocrite you are. Yeah, see, that's the thing, and never forget this. And any Democrats or leftists who are listening, look, I'm not trying to slam you. I'm not trying to beat you up and then put your head against the curb and kick it. I don't fight like that anyway. You do. We don't. We do believe in, don't put out more than you've received. Don't do anything more than it takes to stop the assault. We don't assault. You assault. But here's the thing. Unless you're just twisted, unless you want this, then understand that this ideology you're following is absolutely deadly. And just because you have the American version of it, you think, sort of a communism light, where it's really more about attitude than actions, they're going to throw you in the weeds just like everybody else that they don't much have any use for. No further use for you. Into the weeds you go. And I really hope you don't wait long enough to find out that that's true. Sure, it's easy to say, yeah, I'd love for you to be suffering there going, John B. was right. I don't want you to go through that. I don't. But I'm telling you, you will. You cannot trust these people. They do not give a damn about you. They care about themselves. All they do is lie, steal, and cheat. And if you're all right with that, okay. Well, then you stay right there and hold your position. But don't whine and complain that nobody tried to warn you. Nobody tried to save you. Nobody tried to put you wise to what's really happening. Because we are trying to put you wise to what is happening. And it is happening. Oh, boy. There's so much here. So much, so much. Chris Cuomo breaks silence on brother's scandal, admits to urging governor to resign. Yeah, you need to go next. All you do is spew vitriol, and you've got your brain's about proportional to a BB rolling down the 8-lane highway. You don't have any business trying to influence people. Why are you so special, Chris? And of course, if you were to say something like that to a person like Chris Cuomo, first thing he'd want to do is fight you. He'd probably just hit you. and hard. And then, of course, because he's a connected guy, because his brother was a governor, oh, he just walked, beat the rap. That's how they are. It's all about privilege. Just watch some medieval series. You know, just watch Game of Thrones or watch The White Queen or something like that, the one about Elizabeth. Watch that. It's nothing but castle politics right here in the 21st century. It really is. I think we would do well to remember this. Oh, here we go. George Soros rears ugly head to sound alarm on Chinese dictator Xi Jinping in rare op-ed, a rare opposing editorial. Soros, the only thing that'll make me happier than getting an op-ed from you is to find out that you're out of here. You left the planet. You've gone fishing with Elvis or something. That would be good. Mm-hmm. Outcry over plan to educate bigoted rape survivors about trans rights. The head of one of Scotland's biggest rape crisis centers has suggested bigoted rape survivors. There is no limit to where they'll go now, ladies and gentlemen. No limit, no limit. This is from heraldscotland.com. Written by Tom Gordon, Scottish political editor. The head of one of Scotland's biggest rape crisis centers has suggested bigoted rape survivors should be re-educated about transgender rights as part of recovering from their trauma. Ridul Wadhwa, a transgender woman, said people would not truly recover unless they address their unacceptable beliefs, because therapy is political. She said, "We will work with you, but please expect to be challenged on your prejudices." The comments imply rape survivors may be treated differently according to their political views. One expert said pushing a political view onto a woman at a time of profound trauma and crisis would be inappropriate, unethical, and unprofessional. Radwa also told the Guilty Feminist podcast that rape survivors could reframe their trauma and have a more positive relationship with it. A transgender woman. Good Lord. Where are we? What planet is this? China mocks embarrassed, arrogant U.S. forces while praising friendly relations with the Taliban. Do you understand who your enemy is? Do you understand that this government is so soaked in Chinese bribery money that they will never turn away from their masters for fear they won't get any more money and for fear they'll be exposed? However, what good will it do to expose any of them? Back when I was a kid, you get caught for spying for the communist Chinese or the Russians, you're looking at the death penalty, and it won't take long to get you there either. Oh, well. Disturbing video shows desperate Afghanis clinging to a U.S. C-17 before plummeting hundreds of feet, Wile E. Coyote style. You understand this is really happening? I know you do. I'm not patronizing you. I'm saying, are you getting this? MSNBC interviews Taliban spokesperson who dismisses accusations as propaganda. Oh, yeah, we know you tell the truth. You always tell the truth. Oh, yeah, the Taliban, they're known all over the world for telling the truth. No, they're not. Fox News' Juan Williams details plan to ban Trump from running in 2024. Well, they finally threw that idiot off the air at Fox News and replaced him with that other idiot who's every bit as much an idiot, the mustachioed Geraldo Rivera, whose sole claim to fame is getting into a juvenile back and forth with Dan Bongino. Called him an SOB and a punk and all this other stuff. It's like, I'd like to yank that mustache right off your face, boy. Is that mean? Is it? How about this Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden, assuming that really happened, calls for General Milley to resign and blasts Biden as a worthless politician. Ooh, I like him. And Biden withdraws leaves. Biden, so let me try that again. Biden withdrawal leaves Navy vet in Taliban's hands. Mark Freirich, on the verge of becoming Bob Levinson of Afghanistan, advocate says. And you may have heard, I think he did a Facebook thing. I don't know if there's Facebook or Twitter. To me, they're one and the same. You know what I mean? Yeah. The journalist who said fear is ruling Kabul. And he and his wife and 11-month-old baby are trapped there. Haven't heard from them. Don't know where they are. Don't know where he is, don't know where she is, don't know where the baby is. I'm afraid I know. Parker Beauregard wrote this one just yesterday. I touched on it a little bit, but I couldn't really get too wild with it because we were streaming over the almighty, or would-be almighty YouTube. But in a Friday afternoon release, the Department of Homeland Security communicated that concerns over the election, COVID measures, and general anti-government sentiment was enough to be considered a terror threat. We are quickly reaching the point of no return. And Parker Beauregard writes, if you're like me, then you have concerns over the integrity of the 2020 presidential election. How could you not? Michael Flynn, I presume he means General Michael Flynn, wrote eloquently and concisely about 10 big issues surrounding as much in the Western Journal. The MyPillow guy hosted an entire symposium. Steve Bannon fills hours of talk on election recounts in Arizona and elsewhere. We all saw the lead Trump had at midnight and remember seeing the counts mind-bogglingly change by 4 a.m. Given all we know, I'm pretty sure you're crazier if you don't question the outcomes at this point. Now, even if we're merely wishfully thinking along partisan lines, questioning the integrity of an election is obviously nothing new. Just look at how the media and political elites responded to Donald Trump's surprise win in 2016. Hillary Clinton must have said the word illegitimate with regard to her election loss more than her own marriage. Russian collusion investigations tied up our legislative body for 2 years. That's a lot of election concern from the left. If you're like me, then you also have major concerns over the government's response to COVID. Masks have been proven not to work. Lockdowns have done nothing but prolong people's eventual exposure. The FDA refuses to acknowledge alternative prophylactics and treatments exist, thus paving the way for Big Pharma's EUAs, you know, emergency use authorizations, and the injections are not preventing people from getting sick nor transmitting the disease. There's real concern now that the injections are actually creating the conditions necessary for continued variants like Delta. That's probably best case scenario at this point. What else are they doing to people's insides? The craziest thing about COVID is that what is understood as fact or misinformation is changed as frequently as Biden's depends. The lab leak theory was idea non grata until it wasn't. Fauci went from saying we didn't need masks in March of 2020 to saying we did, and then multiple masks. And a few weeks ago, key figures at the NIH were declaring cloth masks ineffective. The powers that be are allegedly so terrified we might harm ourselves by ingesting a decades-old and Pulitzer Prize-winning generic like ivermectin. They've censored it completely. At the same time, somehow, a brand new concoction is perfectly fine to inject into our limbs and be allowed to deposit throughout our bodies, even though they promised it'd only stay in our arms. Words are evolving, too, since COVID began. The definition of case and herd immunity was changed right under our noses by the World Health Organization. Many things that began as conspiracy have later been deemed mainstream, so excuse me for questioning the COVID narrative and subsequent government interventions. If you're like me, you were never fringe before. You probably weren't even red-pilled until last summer. Well, I'm not like you. I was red-pilled in 1970, but anyway, I digress. When the COVID insanities and BLM riots hit the streets, life was good under Trump, but we didn't dwell on politics. At most, we laughed or shook our heads as friends and relatives slowly succumbed to media-induced Trump derangement syndrome. We accepted a Democrat would eventually be in the White House again because politics is played out on a pendulum, but we never expected this to all happen. In just a few months, it's incredible how quickly and drastically everything has changed. Rather than be just another neighbor on the street, suddenly my house, car, hobbies, and family are emblematic of the benefits of a white supremacist society. I can't turn on television anymore without seeing CIA psyop that infuse white supremacist narratives into every commercial and network program. Likewise, my refusal to buy into government lies and coercion are not merely a libertarian stance. No, no. I am now a known terrorist under the Department of Homeland Security's recently published bulletin, Summary of Terrorism Threat to the U.S. Homeland. In 2005, dissent was patriotic, or so the left would have us believe. In 2021, both the notion of dissent and patriotism are akin to hijacking airplanes and flying them into buildings. Despite the fact that white supremacists are nowhere to be found, the DHS believes them to be the most credible threat to the entire nation. What's that? January 6th? You mean the most serious threat to democracy, worse even than the Civil War or 9/11 has resulted in charges equating to trespassing? Got it. There needs to be a stronger term than just gaslighting. because while Democrats and the media pretend that a few Trump flags and God only knows how many FBI provocateurs storm the steps and breach the gates, Joe Biden is on record saying that the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional, but bleep it anyway. Okay, you want to hear a little bit more? All right, before we bring on our guest here in just a few minutes, I'll give you a little bit more. This is Caravan. Stand by. Back to this article by Parker Beauregard. In 6 months, we have lost basic First Amendment rights and are on our way to losing Second Amendment rights, and the 10th Amendment might as well not even exist at this point. But, and this is a big but, they have the gall to tell us Donald Trump was a threat to democracy. I used to wish everyone well, but it's hard not to hope for the existence of hell at this point. I can think of several Americans who are intentionally destroying this country and trying to make life as hard as possible. It's not just political at this point. It's pure evil what is happening. I know what the U.S. does to terrorists. They ship them off to black sites without habeas corpus. People are tortured and disappeared. Yep, I supported doing that to bad guys that blew up buildings and beheaded innocents. Big difference if I'm considered a terrorist, what's stopping them from going after me in the same way? For the political left, there is never a destination. They might promise that 2 weeks is all we need to fight COVID, then comfort us with the thought of a vaccine, and then ask for us to wait for vaccines to be distributed. But notice how nothing fundamentally ever changes. The grip only tightens, one squeeze at a time. Just a generation ago, 49 states carried Ronald Reagan. The majority of this country understood what American exceptionalism meant. Now, thanks largely to our nation's prosperity, comforts, and education system, we have gone from recognizing and appreciating to self-loathing. Many of the same people voted for Trump that voted for Reagan. And look at how they are vilified. Did they change as people, or did the elites change how they're meant to be perceived? The Democrats and media got what they wanted out of our American Reichstag this past January. With a political ruling class, media establishment, and brainwashed general populace, it's not hard to see how initiatives like this, out of the DHS, magnify. If Americans are considered a risk because they refuse to wear a mask, get an injection, or accept Biden as their overlord, there is no telling what next steps these villains will take. In the macro view of events, there is a known variable and an unknown. We know that the Biden administration will not cease in their totalitarian efforts. We do not know how the general American populace will accept continued incursions into freedom and liberty. Labeling half this country a terror threat will clarify things, though. Kudos to Parker Beauregard, the blue state conservative, is where this article originated, and it's there for you to read. Download and keep at jellyfish.news. And now, without further ado, let us bring on to the deck Mr. Jan Lamprecht from South Africa. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Well, I'm happy you were able to make time for us, given the outrageous hour that we're calling you on. What, you're 7 hours ahead, so what is it, about 20 till 6? 20 till 5?
Hmm. 20 to 5 in the morning. It's no problem. Yeah. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much for that. I was privileged to, and what a pleasure it was to serve as a spokesman for the Lexington cigarette brand from 1984 to 1999. And I got to see the beautiful country over and over and over again and saw the beginnings of what would eventually happen, which has visited South Africa now. And of course, I'm married to a South African woman, so here we are, and I would like for you to just take all the time you want and go into whatever detail you wish to let us know how perhaps closely the situation in South Africa is now being paralleled by operators in the United States. And these riots that happened in July, pretty rough stuff. We didn't get much video out of there, but what we saw was quite eye-opening. So how about South Africa? the Zuma riots and the deaths of July of this year. Just last month, folks.
With your history, and you seem to have some pre-knowledge about South Africa, what else to talk about? The event that happened in July of this year, probably the greatest violence history of South Africa, other than Anglo-Boer War of more than 120 years ago. This is definitely the greatest violence that has come from the blacks history of South Africa. That's really what went down in July. Actually about to upload, in fact, after we finish the show, we're uploading a video. I'll send you the link if you're interested.
Sure.
A video that's long, of all the footage that I could get of the violence of it from people's phones. It was like a miniature war, in a sense. I'll explain why it happened. Let me just give you some background to the violence. What you are seeing here in South Africa, which is slowly unfolding and has been unfolding about 12 or so years, we are actually seeing the beginnings. This is my assessment. We are seeing the beginnings of the breakdown back ruling party of South Africa. Now, of course, liberals and such liars simply telling you, South Africa is a democracy, South Africa is a democracy, really nonsense. Southern Africa, 1950s, 1960s, or the handover of power in South Africa in 1990, he had the Soviet Union and China sponsoring a black communist race war, whites of Southern Africa. To own five different countries in Southern Africa. There were the Portuguese colonies, there was Rhodesia, where I come from, now known as Zimbabwe, Southwest Africa, South Africa. He had a race war here in Southern Africa that lasted over a period of about 50 years, and the Chinese were sponsoring it. Countries like Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and now Namibia, countries are all called democracies, but they're not democracies. One-party state. They are one-party communist. They are ruled by single party into power and never lost power. Example, and Mozambique have been ruled since 1974, same political party. We, formerly Rhodesia, come from, ruled by the same political party since 1980, which used to be German Southwest Africa, has been ruled by the same communist political party since 1989. South Africa also be a democracy has been ruled by the same political party since 1994. Also constantly telling people, wonderful democracy, but you've actually got a one-party state. Study their background. They are communists, actual communists, in the same way that Joe Biden is a communist. These people are communists. Actually happening in South Africa, got a breakdown communist, and that has already started happening in Zimbabwe as well. We also had a internal breakup, but fallout, the party is split, and communists are still clinging to power. But in South Africa is the beginnings of the breakup ruling party. Two sides in the ruling party are busy fighting each other, control of the ruling party. That is really what's happening here. Personalities around which this is happening are two completely different people. is the current president of South Africa. His name is Ramaphosa. The other guy is a guy called Jacob Zuma, and he's a Zulu. That started in this political party, started up the years 2006 to 2008. I began to notice in the politics that there were some changes starting to take place. Changes led to the president of South Africa firing Vice President Jacob Zuma Zulu. Now, what has happened is that party is dominated by a particular tribe known as the Khoisas. Khoisas are about the second biggest tribe in South Africa. The demographics of South Africa, the side of the black, about 9 different black tribes, which has its own language and culture. They're pretty different, okay? There are some that are bigger than others. Now, the Khoisas dominate this thing called the ANC, the African National Congress. Years ago, Zulus told me the conspiracy theory among Zulus, a Zulu can never be the president of South Africa. What actually happened was, speaking, Zulus did not support the ANC. When we were fighting the communists, the Zulus were actually not on the side of the commies. They were even on the side of the whites a little bit. Whites even armed the Zulus to fight the ANC. But it was one Zulu, Zuma, the ANC, moved up in the ranks of the organization, and him being in the culture dominated by another tribe, very well, and he moved to very high levels in the ANC. Because of this, a large chunk of the Zulu tribe began to support C. And then later on, when he was the vice president, these others began to kick him out. And what happened was, he rallied around Zuma. Communists actually put him in power. Very strange event that took place in the year 2008-2009. People never saw it coming. They had no idea what was happening. The next thing they knew, the ruling party had actually removed the president in power. But Zuma got in power. People and the rich went crazy, and for years and years they were attacking this character, at least proof for the Zulus who can become the president. Then worked to down, claimed always that he was corrupt. The key of South Africa is that everybody is corrupt. Ramaphosa is just as corrupt, maybe even more corrupt than Zuma. The liberal mass media never talks about that because they're big buddies with Ramaphosa. What happened was, a couple of years ago, they managed to get Zuma out, Ramaphosa in. Ramaphosa went, like the previous president, now to try and destroy Zuma for once and for all. This is now obviously getting some tribal stuff coming into this thing. Thing about Zuma is that I hate communism. The fact of the matter is, as a good communist and my enemy, is loyal to his own side. What happened was, now trying these, they were now claiming corruption, and as the law is abused, they hide their own corruption and they use law to go after specific enemies, whether these enemies are white, as somebody in their own political party I want to destroy. So they set up these this trial for corruption. Zuma has said that there's this conspiracy against him and he doesn't want to go on trial. He was found to be in contempt of court. In this power struggle, even the president, the current president, was a bit wary of having to arrest Zuma immediately. was in contempt of court, and they then decided they're going to arrest him. Because he's loyal to the cause and the communists and the hardcore war veterans are on his side, they would never allow Zuma to be arrested, physically fight the police. They were gathering at his home, and he lived on the coast of South Africa in Natal. At his home, the police managed to grab hold of Zuma. They took him into custody. Liberal mass media, as far as I can figure out, lied and said that Zuma handed himself over to the police. Information is that this is not what happened. He actually got the police and the security services and actually grabbed Zuma. They managed to grab him and get him into the police station and arrest him. Standoff, where his supporters were going to fight on his behalf, that took place. He's the ex-president. He's got a lot of support. Many people in high places. One of his top supporters was like a guy who was the former ambassador to Japan, for example. Supporters and communists, veterans, decided they know very well that this is a power struggle. Decided that they're going to land a punch on behalf of Zuma.
Okay.
So what they did was they went and they planned a thing. This of Khoza being aligned with a lot of rich white liberals, decided that they were going to launch an attack healthy. They saw that as his power base. That is where these riots come from. And it was organized almost like a military operation. The vast majority of people who took part armed with normal military weapons. They were just people sent out to go and do, let's call it, mass action, striking and rioting. Very common thing in South Africa, this almost every day. But what they had was they had very specific plans. Get these people out. This happened just a few days after he was arrested. They went out, started initially attacking shopping malls and warehouses and filled areas. They used the social media, they used phones and so forth, organized large masses of people to just go and storm these places. 10% of the violence that took place on the east coast of South Africa, province of Natal. About 10% of it took place in the Johannesburg area where I live. South Africa was quiet. Coast is where the Zulus are. They came out in massive force. So the numbers of people involved, it's at the very least thousands, it could be much more. And they came in large waves at the shopping malls, at the warehouses, at the businesses. They just broke into everything and stole everything they could. In among them were arsonists that setting fire to everything. This was absolutely deliberate. It was totally planned. A handful of them who had weapons, but mostly they just came with sticks and just the normal stuff that the blacks have when they riot, etc. They were also instructed and attacked suburbs.
Say that again, Jan. You broke up.
They were ordered to go and attack the Indian suburb and the white suburb. Basically go and attack the people and destroy the suburb. This is something that we in South Africa, talking about blacks attacking us in the future. There are of us who believe that at some point we're going to have a racial conflict here. The things that we've been debating for many years, in fact, how safe is it going to be if we are attacked in the suburbs? Have been many people who've even said that the whites would get killed, pour into the suburbs, that the whites will just get wiped out or be killed. On the other hand, have done my own military studying of the matter, people that I thought there were many reasons whites would actually be able to and survive in their suburbs.
John, let me ask you something. We have just about a minute here before we have to break, but it's kind of a big question, but it may be a short answer. And the question is, who did this to South Africa? Was it the British government? Was it the American government? Is it the global elite? Who did this, and why did they do it? Tell you what, think about that. Yep, think about that a little bit. I pulled the thought right out of your head. Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, folks, this is serious. They referred to South Africa as the Second America. I was there. I saw it. I saw how people lived. I saw how the blacks were treated. Okay? You know Soweto, the Southwest Township? I'll check this out with our guest tonight when we come back. But yeah, they built a big football stadium there. They had one game. Now it's empty. It's sad. It can happen here. Listen up closely. This is Caravan. We'll be back after this top of the hour break. Stand by. See it? I'm seeing it. A dark sail on the horizon. Give me my broadsword. I'll tell you what, you listen to those lyrics, you listen to Ian Anderson sing that from Broadsword and Beast, it'll bring a tear to your eye. Patriotism and love of country and family and God himself will well up in you like no other song I've ever heard, because really, folks, we must understand, it is all a fight down here on planet Earth. This we were absolutely at no time guaranteed an easy, soft ride here. This is a proving ground for souls. And I really mean that. And let me tell you, it does not... people talk about South Africa and apartheid and all this stuff like they know what they're talking about, and they don't. They don't. These are our people. These are our European descendants. All of us. These are our Christian brothers and sisters. And when you hear stuff like, Uhuru is not yet. Well, you know Uhuru is. That's annihilation of the white race in South Africa. Uhuru, kill everybody. Everybody. When you hear that kind of stuff going on, you go, oh, well, yeah, those people, they were mean to the blacks with apartheid. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just an idiot, and you should keep your mouth shut until you learn something. Because you're going to have that aha moment as soon as you learn something, instead of just repeating what other liberal idiots who, because they're teaching, are even bigger idiots. Now, that may seem a little harsh, not quite so civil. Well, this country has become not quite so civil, hasn't it? So maybe it's time for some straight talk, and let's just cut the flowery stuff and come right to the point. Well, if all the whites are gone in South Africa and you decide, I want to go over there and see the triumphancy of the indigenous people there, 1652, okay? The Boers and the South African whites, they're definitely indigenous, okay? They're as indigenous as any white person who's in this country here in the United States, okay? except for the difference is they're outnumbered. What, 60 to 1? You remember the Native Americans, of course. They're still around. Were the white settlers outnumbered 60 to 1? In the beginning, they were. Then what happened? So pay attention and then spread the word as we carry on our most singular conversation with Jan Lamprecht. So, Jan, we'll take this any direction you want to go, and you can always say, listen, I'd rather not get into that, and we'll move right on. I'm not going to try and in any way push you into a corner, but you know, when I saw Theresa May dancing with the little children, I just thought, you know, the British government has managed to push communism into India and China and Russia and South Africa and Brazil and Australia, pretty much. And I'm just wondering if the British government is really what's responsible for this, that they just never got over getting their butts kicked twice in the Boer Wars. Go ahead. Over to you.
Oh, you know, you raise a bunch of really interesting issues, and I really appreciate hearing you talk about young people. Now you're getting down to the core of the issue here. So many things I'd like to comment on that you said. Proceed. Exactly as you pointed out, the whites, there have been whites in South Africa the time that whites went to the United States. We've had people here for as long as you have lived in America, in Canada. We've even been here longer, whites who went to Australia and New Zealand. And yet nobody says that they have to leave Australia and New Zealand. The only reason that we get kicked around in Africa is because we are a small number. It's the only reason that we whites get kicked around in Africa. I'll tell you a little bit more about my background, because family are Boers in Africa. My parents moved to Rhodesia in 1947, just after World War II. I grew up there during the time of the Bush War there, which was communism. Same thing as you guys were fighting in Vietnam, doing exactly the same thing, fighting blacks, trained by the Russians and the Chinese, and armed by the Russians and the Chinese. Fighting them at the same time that you guys were fighting in Vietnam, and none of us could understand why America doesn't come on support us. We're fighting exactly the same enemy. That was the thing that mystified us. But this thing that you mentioned, Britain, an evil country, and I must tell you, I myself, I don't know if you know, but Rhodesia, which was led by Ian Smith at the time, fought against British rule. I was a teenager in the time of the rebellion. You know, we rebelled against the British because the British told us, hand over the country to the blacks, and he handed over to black communists. But handed over to these black communists, destroy the country. Don't do this. It's insane. Any respect that and America and others have asked of the whites of Africa, actually been asked to destroy ourselves. We've been basically told to commit suicide. We fought back with what we had, as few as we were. Asia, we were only 250,000 whites. Only in Europe that actually hung on to its colonies, pretty determined to keep them, was Portugal. Portugal fought three wars in Africa at the same time. Portuguese were our allies. So when Rhodesia fell into South Africa, so that just gives you a little bit of personal background. But I was never politically active until I saw Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe starting to seize the farms of the whites in the year 2000. That was when I became politically active. I could no longer keep my mouth shut. That's just a bit of background. But dead right. All of us were Christians. Southern Africa were Christians. The Boers are the deepest believing Christians in the world that you can find. People truly believed in God, they truly believed in the Western world. Imagine that be lied to and cheated and destroyed. You think that you're right about the British connection. Myself, is, as I have dug into other history of Southern Africa, I tell you, the British have time and again things that aided the enemies of the whites of Southern Africa. Could almost say that even the Rhodesians, even the Portuguese, themselves in exactly the same place as the Boers, is this desire to work with our enemies and aided and abetted our enemies again, and they betrayed whites. I mean, when Rhodesia was handed over to the blacks eventually after the war, the British did not even allow those of us who lived in what used to be their own colony even allow us to go to Britain. They totally left the whites to devices. They didn't do a thing for us. Britain in Southern Africa is an enemy of the whites of Southern Africa, I must tell you. But many of the whites who now live in South Africa are whites like myself. There are even Portuguese, etc. Everybody eventually ended up, those who didn't leave Africa altogether, ended up in South Africa itself. I'm so glad that you recognize the bond of the European. The only reason why we are not like America is because not enough Indian people came to Africa. Understanding is that it was because of disease, etc. At the time, it was a place where a lot of people died from disease. Other thing is that the reason the black population is so big. So let's just talk a little bit about race, because you mentioned apartheid. So let me just a few points about race and apartheid. A thing that most people don't know is that whites came to Africa. The dark-skinned, the black people that you associate with Africa, black people did not occupy all of Africa. When whites came to South Africa, other non-whites, there's another race of people, but they're not the same, are known as sand people or bushmen. They're a different race. They're a small brown people. They aren't large in number. They are the only non-whites who were in the tip of Africa when the whites first came here. But the whites in South Africa, probably for perhaps as long as 160 years, some blacks actually never met orally next to each other for over 160 years. Whites were moving northward, blacks were moving southward. People, colonizers, because blacks lived in South Africa for hundreds or even thousands of years. A theological fact that these people entered South Africa just a short while before the whites even came here. Whites and the blacks actually physically met Eastern Cape at the Great Fish River. So there's a chunk of South Africa that blacks never even occupied, that whites were there first. In Angola, which is on the west coast of Southern Africa, that the Portuguese in Angola for 500 years. Portuguese were in Angola for longer than the United States existed. You know, the notion that came here and all these black people were everywhere, that's not true. The thing is, the number of people was very little. These people were suffering from illnesses and starvation. Economies were backward. They were dying. The only reason that their population has exploded through the roof, because Christianity, of medicine, of the food, etc. Whites ruled blacks. Blacks never starved to death. You can find instances of blacks starving to death, even in modern times. Whites ruled them, starved to death, them, and we brought medicine to them, even free medicine. Christians have gone, all white Christians have gone all over Africa, blacks, in the medicine, and same Christians have even been murdered by the very blacks that they went to help. So these are among the many things you don't hear about Africa. Of apartheid, whites were trying to do, whites were trying to as the country in a way that would work, is where apartheid actually comes from. It was a case of almost the local whites in control of South Africa over and above the British globalism that dominated after they had defeated the Boers. Now, the thing, nobody even talks about all the atrocities of the English against the Boers. Came and murdered 30, they their women and children into concentration camps. 1,000 women and children died. They burned all their farms to the ground. They burned something like 30,000 farms. They killed millions of animals. They killed all the animals that belonged to the Boers. They totally impoverished and destroyed the Boers who were here. The reason that the British came here was because of the gold and diamonds that had been discovered in South Africa. Boers have been treated very badly by the British, I must tell you.
Yeah, they originated the concentration camp. Now, straighten me up on a couple of things, Jan. I understand that it was about 50 years before a white person even saw an actual black African once the Dutch landed there in 1652. Is that true? I've heard that more than once.
It's very, 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 very likely to be true. There weren't many, and they were far away. In fact, blacks actually came down the east coast of South Africa. I'll tell you another secret about South Africa. You can go and check what I'm telling you. It's on Wikipedia, but you won't hear the mass media and the liberals talk about it. But the greatest genocide that ever took place in South Africa was actually on blacks. Blacks had moved into South Africa, lived here for a couple of hundred years, about in the time of about 1820 or so. 1820, when the blacks had been here for quite a while and blacks had started spreading out across South Africa. Zulus, the war. Black tribes started fighting each other. I live in the center of South Africa, more or less, which is Johannesburg, Pretoria area. This very area that I live in, which is now massive, which is now a massive city, that in this particular region of South Africa, the blacks, and they carried out the greatest genocide ever. A offshoot of the Zulus came to this region and they killed all the black men, women, and children. Murdered over a million. Murdered over a million blacks, as much as 1.4 million in the 1820s. There's a name for it. It's got a special name. It's something like Mifokane or Difokwane, but it is on... is even on Wikipedia. You can read about it. Greatest genocide in the history of South Africa, and it was all black on black. Nobody mentions a word about it. He says that the Zulus must pay reparations. They even mention that this thing took place. There, archaeologists and scientists and historians have dug into it, etc. They go on and on and on about apartheid. What happened under apartheid was completely twisted. I'll tell you another thing. I have to agree with you that parallels between America and South Africa are tremendous. to your country twice, had a chance to have a look at your country, and I must tell you, parallels between us are tremendous. The common rural white American, exactly the same as the common rural white South African. A friend of mine who from South Africa who went to America many years ago, before I'd gone, was Julio. I said to Julio, so Julio, what are the Americans like? He said to me, he said, Jan, Americans are exactly like Africa, except they don't speak Afrikaans. I must tell you, we're exactly the same in the way we think, etc. Patriots, we think about family. We inherited the European Christianity. Amazing how the people who run the countries, the globalist people, are completely not the same as us. I must tell you, the more I speak to other whites and other parts of the world. I was lucky enough to go to Canada 2 years ago. I travel, and the more I speak to people, I see that white people everywhere are exactly the same. We're the people. We think exactly alike. You go and talk to a white Canadian, talk to someone in Holland, exactly the same. People who rule us, class. Now that's a whole other game.
Yeah.
In regard to South Africa and the cruelties and stuff of South Africa, let me explain a few things to you. When the whites, by the way, always telling you all these negative things about the Boers and so forth and the Boers being this and that, in 1949, Boers set out to side the Indians of South Africa. Now, the Indians are Indians from India. Brought them here, slaves, by the way, brought them as slaves to work in sugarcane plantation. Later, they were freed. These Indians mostly lived there in Natal, there where the Zulus are. 1949, Boers tried to genocide the Indians. The Boers came and they killed the Zulus and they saved all the Indians from certain genocide. Nobody ever tells you that.
No. No, and who exactly purchased these Indians to be slaves?
Understanding was that the British brought them in, but I don't know any greater detail than that.
No, that's quite enough, really, isn't it? Wow. Well, this is really something. Well, let us just, I cannot believe that the time is going by so quickly, folks, but it is. With our guest tonight, Jan Lamprecht, and we'll be back after this bottom of the hour break. Don't forget what we talked about now. Go to ctmstore.com and get yourself a raffle ticket. And I haven't pushed New Eden on you very much because so many people are enjoying it that I thought, okay, well, everybody's got it now, but investigate New Eden, top flight, top tier, top shelf nutrition, the best I've ever seen in the world. End of story. CTMstore.com. I'll be back with you. This is Caravan to Midnight. If you're new to the program, welcome. And if you're already with the program and have been, well, welcome back. We have one more segment, but it's a big one. It's a nice big segment with our guest tonight, Mr. Jan Lamprecht. And I wish I had time to read this article to you. Cry the Beloved Country, a letter from South Africa by Kate Bartlett. She writes for OZY, O-Z-Y, a modern media company. And she doesn't have the slightest idea what she's talking about. She writes things like, let's see. So what happened to this G20 nation that is Africa's most industrialized economy with one of the world's most progressive constitutions? Democracy happened. Last week, former President Jacob Zuma, a populist who's often been compared to former U.S. President Donald Trump, was sent to jail. It was a pivotal moment on a continent and in the broader world where the powerful seldom end up behind bars for their crimes. Zuma, a former freedom fighter from Mandela's African National Congress Party, was sentenced to 15 months for contempt of court after he failed to appear at a corruption inquiry looking into graft and influence peddling during his 9 years in power. Despite the scandals, the 79-year-old has a stranglehold over an important faction of the ANC and is loved by many for singing, dancing, and his contagious laugh. His second name, Gidley Lekisa, translates to the one who laughs while grinding his enemies. But last week, South Africa's judiciary had the last laugh and won praise for its fierce independence when it sentenced one of the country's most powerful men into prison. Aside from the contempt of court ruling, Zuma, who previously was acquitted of rape charges, faces over 700 counts of corruption in a separate case. You don't know what you're talking about, Kate Bartlett. And yes, you are a part of a modern media company. You don't know your backside from a hole in the ground, and it would be better if you just took up something else besides writing things like this drivel. And it winds up in the public sphere. Sorry, Kate. I like girls. I don't know you. Never seen your picture or anything else. Just saying. You don't know what you're talking about. Get off the stage. Sorry, Jan. I just had to put that in there. It just infuriates me when these people write about things they know nothing about. She did get the part right about 700 counts of corruption. But comparing Jacob Zuma to Donald Trump because he's so popular? And how exactly did Jacob Zuma enforce his popularity? I'm thinking it was from the end of an AK, but I could be wrong.
You're dead right. You're dead right. And I don't know if you know, you remember Robert Mugabe, the communist in Zimbabwe.
Who wouldn't die.
To quote Mao Tse-tung, and he used to say, comes out of the barrel of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people are violent, you know. Taking Zuma's side, I'm just telling you that what you've got is a fallout thieves. Don't think that he's the only who's corrupt or done wrong things. They all have, but it's just who is the liberal media protecting at this point in time? The good news for the whites, and for me this is the good news, is that seeing the beginnings of the splitting up of the party are fighting. The Zuma Ramaphosa faction is the biggest. There are other splits that are already in progress. They also now and then try to murder each other. For me, the good news is that starting to break up. My own long-term thinking for South Africa, and this is probably what America is also heading to 100 years from now, is that we're heading into balkanization. We're going to still see in my own lifetime and probably your lifetime too, start seeing the breakup of South Africa. What was good for me about the stuff that happened, events that happened, is that, tell you a bit about the physical scale of it, that blacks, they arrested thousands of blacks later, but he went down was when these blacks were swarming all over the Indian and white suburbs, came out in force, thousands, and the whites started blocking roads, coming out with their weapons, etc., from firearms to baseball bats, and I'm even told with a golf club, and whites started blocking off the roads and blocking the blacks from getting into the suburbs to destroy their houses. There were whites who did shoot back at certain times. Total 342 people died in the 9 days of violence. The vast majority of them were black. About 5 Indians were killed, and the good news for me was that no whites were injured. There were whites who lost lots of property. There were whites who owned trucks. Blacks burned anything from 45 to 100 trucks. So tried to burn down some farms. I heard of a white farmer who had to be airlifted from his house, couldn't get out. They had to send in a helicopter. all in all, the whites themselves surprised, a big surprise, a first in Africa. The first time ever the Indians fought back. The blacks were pouring into the Indian suburbs and trying to kill the Indians and burn down their houses, and shot a whole bunch of blacks. Place they killed at least about 50, though the government's trying to downplay that now. They also killed some other blacks in another suburb. The killing of the 50 blacks by the Indians, and I do have some film footage of some of this, even just that stuff puts it close to the so-called of the massacre that they're, Sharpeville massacre in the time of apartheid, full massacre when the police shot 67 blacks dead, who 1,000 or so who were attacking a police station. Mass media made much of that time. Here are the Indians shooting 50 blacks in self-defense. So the blacks are very irritated by this.
Oh, yeah.
The beauty is there is fighting between the blacks, also now racial tension between the Indians and the blacks. Once the whites can sit back and watch everybody else, each other. Greatest news was that were able to protect their suburbs. They came out totally fine. I think that this bodes simply for the future, because there were some people who feared this would just be overrun and wiped out. Actually, they came out absolutely fine. In fact, they were hiding police stations doing nothing. White civilians, whites with security companies, white neighborhood watchers, not protecting the suburbs. There were even instances of the whites going to the police and giving the police ammunition while the police were hiding in the police station. They did absolutely nothing. The beauty was that the whites and the Indians managed to stop the blacks' tracks, and hundreds of blacks died in the process. Though, of course, don't think that people were just shooting wildly. People only shot when it was absolutely necessary. You shoot somebody and there's no good reason, you yourself will go to jail. People are very much rigged against people with guns. It has been trying aggressively to disarm us, changed the laws and made it so difficult. Self-defense is almost impossible. Bottom line was that when whites were put in a real spot, they actually came through. So one of my friends in Durban, the biggest city on the coast where most of the violence went down,
yeah,
told me that for 5 days and nights, whites came out, put up roadblocks and things, and they protected themselves until finally sent in the army and the police and quietened down. Oh, you're going to be on your own, and I think for Americans, for white Americans, it's the same. On your own, the elite and the wealthy globalists want you to live. I personally think there's a worldwide war on white people.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? It really does. In fact, there's an article that I have I've left sitting on my screen for a long time. Just because it wasn't the right time to read it, but I'll leave it up there in a tab. But here's the thing. Now, Kylie Zempel wrote this for The Federalist, and this is just a short graph from it, folks. If they can convince you not only that your Donald Trump-voting Christian neighbor is a racist, but that the Bible itself is the epitome of white supremacy, they can ban it from polite society and ostracize anyone who would defend it. Critical race theory is good. Jesus is bad. Now cough up your hard-earned tax dollars so we can teach that to your kids. I think that as South Africa has been referred to as the second America, I think if we're not careful, they're going to refer to America as the second South Africa. That's what I'm thinking, unless these communists are stopped, and that's what they are. Over to you.
Absolutely. You know, communism is alive and well. And you know what was a horrific thing that I discovered my years of political activism? It took me quite a number of years to realize this. Thing when I was operating from a conservative point of view, I used to think, well, liberal whites must be our friends. Make friends with liberal whites and try and convince them of our position. It took me quite a long time to realize that liberal whites are actually closer to communism. Liberal whites have a choice between the white conservatives, real communism, it was with Lenin, etc. Find that those white liberals, communism in a much better light, will side with communists. British themselves are a perfect example of that too. You know, the white man, and stuff about white supremacism and everything, the whole thing is to destroy the European people. Question about it.
That's really what it looks like. It doesn't look like any, it's like, it's not as though, oh, well, yes, I think maybe you're right. It's like, no, I can't see any other motive other than the destruction of Western civilization, which was, of course, created by, wait for it, folks, Caucasians. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Do you know, I understand there's a new war in Mozambique. I was actually over there. On October the 4th, 1992, I actually stepped over the border for just a few minutes and smoked a Lexington cigarette, which I was a spokesman for that brand, on that day, on October the 4th, 1992. And it was the end of a 17-year-long, was it 16 or 17 years? I think it was 16-year-long civil war. And now they're about to have another one. Can you tell us something about that, Jan?
And I must tell you that the original civil war that you are referring to in Mozambique, that civil war was actually started by the white Rhodesia. Do you know that? We started that war. That country was sending black terrorists into our country. The Russians and the Chinese were there, and they were causing so much havoc. The whites eventually came up with a crazy idea, and the idea worked fantastically. It's actually one of the greatest things that we did. Rhodesia decided and start a black opposition to the black communists. They went on a spree where they pretended was an opposition to the black communists, like there wasn't. Used it as a cover story for the Rhodesian soldiers to go into Mozambique and to go and hit specific targets. When they were broadcasting all their news about, they were broadcasting the truth, but the lie was that some activities that were taking place were being done by blacks opposed to the communists. Things the Rhodesians knew were blacks from Mozambique were coming into Rhodesia saying, we want to join the opposition. Whites then organized an opposition and trained a black army. Whites helped the blacks fighting against communism in Mozambique. It worked very well. The only problem was that when Rhodesia eventually fell, what we did was we handed over those blacks to South Africa, and the South Africans continued to arm them and assist them for years. That entire civil war of 15, 16 years, was actually created. Know that in that war, a million blacks to death, because that was the payback of the white man. That war left Mozambique in quite a state. It turned Mozambique into the poorest country in the world for decades. so that's the revenge from the Rhodesians. Anyway, yeah. There is a new war that's brewing, and this one is blacks adopted Islam.
Oh no!
These blacks And can you believe these blacks are catching and beheading other blacks? So that is what's actually taking place. But it's not a very big war. It's a small war. It has already caused problems. I must tell you, one view of Africa is that all these black communist countries are becoming unstable. Zimbabwe itself is very unstable. I see instability as the main hope for the whites of Southern Africa. That can give us our chance to do our own thing, that the fall apart. That might give us a chance to do something in the decades to come. A personal hope. That's the only hope I see for us. I'm really pleased with that little war that started there, monitoring it, and governments are not doing well. Only up against a tiny army of maybe a couple of hundred black Muslims. Black Muslims gave them a hard time. Muslims might be losing, but I think they're gonna be around for a time. What I'm pleased to see is these communist governments to fall apart. That yeah. pleases me greatly. If only America and the West, the whites of Southern Africa, we would do so well even now. Even now, there's so much we could do. But we were under international sanctions. America never wanted to help us with anything. Britain did. Britain went to the United Nations and got sanctions on us. We couldn't even trade. We couldn't do anything. Pariahs in the world. Nobody lifts a finger, allows us even anything. Thing. Even guys like Saddam Hussein and others were better treated internationally. So there is a chance for us to still do something. We are currently 4.6 million people. We've got the same population, more or less, as Croatia in Europe. I think we could form our own breakaway state in the future. I truly do. Need a little bit of people to understand our position, etc., and a bit of support. Globalist world want us to die. There's no question about it. They prefer communism and anything else to us.
Yeah. Well, we have the same thing going on in the United States with between the Antifa is just a bunch of violent, not very good at thuggery types, but this Black Lives Matter deal. Well, Antifa too. I can't remember which outfit it was that has Malina Abdullah at this moment because she has ceased to feature. But I mean, these people are basically savages. She wants to before a protest, which invariably up there in Pacific Northwest turns violent very shortly. She likes to call spirits to space, whatever that means, and pour the libation and drink the libation and call upon the spirits of departed ancestors to help them and call on all these bloodline connections in the spirit world to come and help them. I mean, seriously, where's the big pot? Where's the big kettle where, human beings are boiled? I suppose that's next. Tell us, we're about to run out of program here, Jan, but Government by Deception, back from 2007. What's the main topic there? Yeah.
I wrote a book called Government by Deception. That was my original book. Warned the whites of South Africa that we're going to come under racial attack. Note, I have two websites. The website is historyreviewed.com. The one is africancrisis.info. Interested in more information on what I do. I put out lots of videos. I upload a video with some violence, but there's more coming. All the violence that you didn't see, tons of it. I'm going to be uploading it videos.
Please send us the links and we'll put them on our jellyfish.news site. God bless you and all those you love. God bless South Africa. God bless the Boers. May the Lord Jesus protect all of you, because the world needs to know what really happened over there, not what the mainstream media has invented. Take care, Jan. We'll speak again soon.
Thank you much. It's been a real honor to be on your show.
It's mutual, sir. Keep punching. On behalf of everybody here at Caravan, God bless you, everyone, and good night.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports, and fancy coffee too, energy-efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites.